Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Simone Riscala, and you are listening to the Endow Podcast, a conversation not just about the feminine genius in general, but about cultivating your particular feminine genius through the Catholic intellectual tradition and intentional community. Hello, Endow ladies. I'm so happy right now to talk to two of my friends who are also my colleagues. This is kind of a privilege. Katie Smith, who is our director of development, was our director of, actually our executive director and our director of operations. So she's, what has she not been in charge of? And Laura Zambrana, our director of content. So this is really fun because we actually get to have one of our off-record conversations on record. And so one of the things we've been talking about is we really want Endow women, who are pretty much the coolest women out there, to know the behind the scenes of what goes into making an Endow study, as well as what it means to be part of the Endow movement, if I may use that word. So welcome, ladies. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simone.
Thanks for doing this today. I'll start, I think, with Laura. Because I also work very heavily with you behind the scenes on content.
Behind the scenes.
What does it mean to be a director of content at Endow? It
means to watch the magic happen. Forward the emails to keep the magic happening. No, I'm so delighted to get to talk today about the making of an Endow study and how the Endow studies come from idea stage into your mailboxes. Hopefully, sometimes USPS, you know. Maybe not next to your mailbox, maybe 3 days later.
Oh, that's so real. But shipping's been crazy, so let's just keep it on that.
It has. So I've gotten to work with Endow Study Guides for the last 10 years on one side of the coin as a host and reading them out loud with my group, and now and in the actual making of. So I've had my hand in the Discovering the Doctors Study Guide, the Rosary Study Guide, the Catholic Social Teaching Study Guide, soon to be coming out to the world. And then we have a couple projects also in pre-production. So the way that an Endow study is made is somebody has a brilliant idea. Sometimes that's on the team. Sometimes that's from our advisory council. Like, it all kind of depends on where we get the ideas from. And then my job is to take that idea and put it onto paper for a contract, very clear what we want from the author, what we're hoping to get out of a study. So if you've done an Endow study, you know that what we're trying to get at is not just like doctrine and not just bullet points. Like, we already have the catechism. Like, we don't need another catechism. But we don't want just like doctrine points. We want things that are going to make women have a real discussion in their Endow groups. So it's not meant. Yes, go. No,
sorry to interrupt you, Laura. I just want to say this. So cool point number one, you were Endow host well before you were on the official team. And you have firsthand experience, like the transformation that comes from Endow group. I was just talking to my mom about like, how do we talk about Endow? Because it's mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to talk about Endow because like, it's hard to talk about grace. You know, it's real, you've experienced it, but to put it into words is very difficult because it's not just about women coming together. Women tend to gravitate together all the time. It's not just like you said about just like, cold, strict dogma, doctrine.
Right.
But it's
right.
just beautiful. I would you say that an Endow study is actually like the bridge or the launching pad by which like the operation of grace happens through this like community of women? That's what I would
say. Yeah, I think grace is happening, and it's grace happening through friendship, through like a common love and a common experience. Right. So women that come to an Endow group are women who want to learn more about the faith, but also want to make it real. So it doesn't just stay in like, oh, well, we read that chapter, move on. Anyways, how was your week? It's like, oh, how does that chapter relate to my week? You know, it's like, oh, like, right. It's kind of the meeting of like, not just theology in your head, but theology in your heart and your lived experience.
Yeah.
So because of that, our studies, when I write the contract and when I work with the authors, they can't just stay flat, boring words on a page. I actually tell my authors to write for a read aloud.
Okay. Wait, that's like the fun stuff. That's like the magic. Can we just go through all the non-magical stuff, like the contract?
the contract. Okay. I'm very strict with my authors, and they're so good to me about word count. So how long a chapter can be so that we can actually get through all of Endow study in 8 to 12 weeks. So I'm really strict with the contract. So I'm involved with the contract and trying to figure out how much we can pay our wonderful authors and how much they can afford to take the time out to actually write the study. Again, these are not checkboxy. These take a lot of research, a lot of love.
It's a work of art.
It's a work of art.
Yeah.
And then I'm involved in the, it takes about like a month to really write a really strong chapter. So I'm involved in all the back and forth of reviewing their draft, sending them back, working on them again. So the drafts part takes a lot of time and effort on the author mostly and me thinking through things. And then after I get the final draft from the author, we send it to get the imprimatur from the Archdiocese of Denver. So Endow is based in Denver, Colorado. And so then I work with the Archdiocese to actually review our study guide so that with all the work of art, it's still doctrinally sound. So yeah. Then I work with,
we can't always guarantee grace, but we can guarantee, we can guarantee orthodoxy.
Exactly. So
no one leaves a heretic or nobody leaves a heretic on it being our fault.
Right. So then I talk to the priests over at the Archdiocese and try to figure out like which parts need to be updated or edited to make sure that it's really accurate. And then we get what's called the imprimatur. So imprimatur is a Latin subjunctive for let it be printed. So you'll see at the beginning of our studies, it says like nihil obstat and then the imprimatur. So that's really important to Endow. Like we see ourselves as co-workers in the vineyard with our priests that like they're doing their ministry and Endow is doing, there it is.
We have juridic personhood and canon law.
Right.
So we have to be right about doctrinal stuff.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So it's really important to us that we're like apostles, like Mary Magdalene going out there and sharing the gospel with our fellow sisters. So then once it gets all nihil obstated, then we actually have to get it like copy edited, formatted and printed. So we believe very strongly in like things being beautiful. So accurate in the text and also beautiful. So getting formatted takes a lot of effort and time as well. How to indent things properly, how to cite things properly. There's a whole lot that goes on.
This is like a lot.
I know.
This
is a lot.
Let's get to the, so that's like all of the stuff. Cause it's funny sometimes, thinking like, oh, can we put together a study in like a week or a month? But actually there's like all of this stuff that has to, so let's get to the fun stuff about the study. Like the magic, the art, the beauty, the consultation,
the fun stuff,
inspirations from the Holy Spirit. Let's get to
that. Well, people ask like, what are you going to cover in Endow or what's your content? And it is a really, a very humbling thing to actually see how the Holy Spirit uses. I mean, gosh, the Holy Spirit's like all over Endow, you know, like everything we do. But like most recently with the Rosary study and then the Catholic social teaching study, those inspirations came from different sources in the Endow world. And Simone and I talk about this a lot. There's definitely a correlation between like the Marian, like the love for Our Lady and like the Catholic social teaching, like truly living out the Rosary. And the Rosary in some ways is like a phenomenal daily practice to actually do an examination of how you're living out Catholic social teaching. So the actual way the topics come to us feels very like magical to me and very, again, very spirit driven.
Well, it's humbling for you, Laura, because you're actually like the person who, the Holy Spirit's, it's not only you, right? It's not like, oh, Laura decides we have to do, sometimes it is Laura decides this, but like,
it should be, no kidding.
but you are used, very specifically. And I think that that's kind of like the scandal of grace and the scandal of the Holy Spirit is that he actually uses our own input and inspirations for this.
Right.
So that's kind of a.
Right. And like all last year, I was like dying to do. Sorry, would you say something?
I was just saying that's just like a very privileged position that you're in.
Oh, yeah. I feel like kind of like I did as an Endow host. When you're an Endow host, you're sitting there and you're reading out loud the Endow study guide and you're watching the women in your group like hear things sometimes for the first time, like have never heard the feminine genius proclaimed that we have a special mission in the world. And like, again, last week I got to sit in on the suffering study that everyone's doing live right now. I just subbed for a week and I know about suffering. I went to theology school. I can tell you what the church
I've
says.
Suffered enough.
I've suffered. But I mean, to actually, again, hear John Paul II in our study guide proclaim about suffering and then to hear and see the women in the group reflect on what that means. And then for me to think about in like March of 2021, what suffering means. And then to have John Paul II's words from that 1984 all of a sudden reverberate throughout the decades and like become real again. Like that for me, like what should people know about the Endow Study Guides is that there's like a realness to hearing the words of the church read out loud by your Endow group. That's not like any other book you're going to buy. So it's like, oh, why does this cost whatever it costs? Like, because like, it's not just like a product that you're buying. It's like an actual living, dynamic experience. It's an event.
Yeah. And Christianity is an event. So what I'm hearing you saying, which is I like talking about the fun stuff more than not fun stuff, although the not fun stuff is foundational, is that to sit for eight to 12 weeks, or 6 to 12 weeks, it isn't just like a purchase of a study guide. Here you go. And it's like consumerism. You are actually entering into purchasing the study is like the least activity, right? The actual work is to come every week and to commit to this incarnational, fundamentally Christian event. And one of the silver linings of COVID, I think for us, the three of us, is that the three of us got to do the rosary study together.
Right.
And that was really special for us because, it's really easy to get busy at work and there's all these things to do, but actually like to be together in this like profound moment of uncertainty with the quarantine, the pandemic, and just start the rosary study that I'm going to go ahead and say was prophetic and providential on the Feast of the Annunciation in 2020, to me was like a God wink of like, okay,
totally.
We're all where we're supposed to be.
We were all friends before that, but then to have the rosary, I feel like the Endow group forms your friendship for a higher level. It's like, now we have more in common than just like the day-to-day stuff of our work, but now it's like a different level. Now we've experienced an event together.
So
we still have the text thread. Like, we still text each other, everybody who led that online study, who was a panelist, like we still communicate with one another, which I found so amazing. That's been one of the biggest fruits.
That's been an enduring friendship. I love that.
Because of that common experience and that event. Like we all shared that, like, again, the quarantine, the uncertainty. We all like turned to Our Lady together and said, let's do this study.
So it didn't,
and that changed it, and it changes you.
Yeah, it didn't hit me until a few months into like my work at Endow, how much care you put into guiding the author to write in such a way as for the document to be read out loud.
It's a unique, and people I talked, even our copy editor who does tons of publishing work, I was explaining to her again, the Endow, how this book is used. And she's like, oh, that's really different. Like to actually
write
in a way and that it can be read out loud and proclaimed. You write differently than when you write long, like Dickens with like one period per page. We need a lot of periods per page, a lot of commas, a lot of breathing room. So it's a whole different form of writing.
Also
the topics that you bring up or don't bring up, like it's actually really important to be very particular about which topics are brought up in each chapter. Because if you bring up 30 intense topics and all of a sudden you have 2 hours to meet with your Endow group and 30 topics to like sift through, versus really choosing like the top 3 points that must be covered. Yeah. It actually helps to be more directive in that than less.
Right. And the discussion questions being, again, that it's artistic, right? Because we are intellectually bent. We want to access these documents. We want our minds to have rich food to feed on, but then also for it to not just remain an intellectual exercise, but to be transformative and formative, which is actually what being in a group of women will do for you anywhere in any community to do for you anyway. So I think that's also, I had the pleasure of watching you kind of discern, like, are these the right questions? This topic,
my thing's always like, I've noticed in Endow groups, when we go through a section that's too hard and I read the questions, everyone sits there kind of like, this is too either too hard, like intellectually, or just too hard, like just something's not right. I always like stop and I don't do the questions for discussion. I say, what struck you from these last few sections?
Yeah.
And inevitably someone's like, yeah, I got hung up on this whole Trinity thing. What do I do? So then we like dive into that. So it's important that like we want people to dive into the text itself and not just be worried about answering the questions, well, like a moralistic.
Where, yeah, that's where the art, the personal vocation, the personality, the artistic quality of the host comes in, right? Because the host has to kind of like stay attuned to the Holy Spirit and make those calls in an endowed group. Like, we can give you a structure and a format. And, and me personally, like, I'm kind of the first touch point for like spiritual, theological, pastoral resources for like how to have the best endowed group possible. But really that's like up to you, and there's no two endowed groups alike. So there's a lot of, there's like structure and there's like brilliance, but there's also a lot of freedom. I want to get to Katie. Anything else that you think that is like kind of magical and special about an endow study guide?
I guess the last thing is our, the people that we get to reach out to work with. Like, we have both Simone and Katie, and I have a lot of people that we like to run things by. So it's never just like one author and like one director of content does everything. It's such a team effort and requires so much discernment on the fine point. Like, yeah, a lot of like, there's just a lot of people involved in creating the endow study guide experience. And that it's not just like a one, oh, thank God we have this one author. It's like actually like the author cooperating with a whole team of people.
Right. It's not a pizza assembly line. We have like, there's like a whole,
we're all in the pizza pie together.
We're all in the pizza, but I think that's actually what makes it such a privilege on our end to like work with you. And for example, just our meeting yesterday, on religious freedom study, just like the collaboration of like minds, of objectives, of hearts, like what do we want this to be for endowed women? What do we want this to be for ourselves? What is it that we want to learn? Yeah. What is it that we want to bring to a world that we're claiming that women who have cultivated their feminine genius are going to renew the temporal order? So if that's our like ultimate goal, what does this endowed study have to have as much as possible to be the trajectory, the launching pad for that to happen? So that was really beautiful. And then we also, all the personally spiritual benefits of relearning about Flannery O'Connor for the Flannery O'Connor study, that has been enriching. So there's just like, there's just so much. I guess this is the behind the scenes episode, right? Where we kind of like talk about all of our hearts that kind of go into this. And that leads me to talk to Katie. Katie, so where do we even begin with development, all those? Because development just sounds so like corporate and dry, but development is so much more than that, right? It's not just like write us a check so we can do these awesome things for Jesus, but like you're actually like, if you're part of the endowed apostolate, you're like spiritually involved, even if you
are
writing a check to like fund these studies. Like, there is a lot of spiritual involvement into this, you know? So, Katie, what kind of things do you want to say to endow women who are part of our endowed family or who are thinking about being part or just kind of following us?
Well, first, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Whether this is the first time that you are encountering endow or you've been a longtime endow host, we love our women. We would not be here without you, and we're very grateful. So if you're considering starting an endow group or maybe have been away for a while and are coming back, please reach out to Simone or to any of us, really, because we'd love to have you back on board. But as Laura was talking about the process, and Simone, you brought up manufacturing. It's so funny because I actually worked in manufacturing for 5 years. So as a project and program manager, for a very large chip manufacturer on the West Coast. I'll leave you all to discern where that is, but they're in most computers, so you'll figure it out. And I did that for about 5 years. So I was in the research and development fab. And so our goal was to figure out how to make a computer chip twice as small and twice as fast in 2 years. And I have to say, there were billions. Now, if there's gazillion, I think is beyond a billion, but whatever. There is that much and more in these organizations to produce a computer chip. And I would have to say the monetary value of an endow study is worth so much more than that. So when you look at it financially, like the lives that an endow study touches and the stories that we hear of all of the women whose lives have changed. I mean, we've had everything from like someone who left prostitution because she read one chapter of Letter to Women.
Wow.
Like,
I didn't know that. Did I know that? I forgot. Yes. I don't think that's something you forget. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So there's we do have a lot of endowed groups in places like prisons, homeless shelters. And there was one woman who was working in prostitution. She came into the homeless shelter. There was a wonderful endowed host who was leading a study there. And she actually, she said that she had just like basically sold herself for $5 and felt completely worthless, and then encountered what JP2 had to say and realized, like, I am worth so much more than what I've just done to myself. So yeah, really transformational. I mean, we're not talking about like, hey, I went home and said a prayer to the Holy Spirit today because I, you know, read a cool thing in an endowed study, which is good also, but
I mean, that's
really transformational stuff.
Yeah, the kind of like tension that I hold is that like we as like just regular faithful Catholic women who love the magisterium, etc., like we need to be spiritually fed. Like Jesus said that we need to love God with our whole hearts, minds, right, souls, and strength. So if your endowed group is like your place of taking that call seriously, right, as creatures who are made in the image and likeness of God and who have this capacity to reason and understand. And that's what your endowed group is. That's not nothing. That's huge.
Right.
The other side of it is, I think what you're touching on, which is the mission side, which is why, you know, part of the reason why we want to have this conversation, which is that, yeah, there is this whole gospel message that has yet to be penetrated by the world. This is a civilization that is crumbling, that is dying. And how do we know that? Such a dramatic claim. Because of what you just said, that there are women out there that don't know their dignity. This most basic, fundamental fact of a human being. So there's,
well, and like for her and for her to actually know her dignity, it required like the host to show up, like materials to read from, you know, like a beautifully designed and our commentaries are like, they're made for the average woman to read, so they're not meant to be like too hard or too easy, somewhere right in the middle. So the fact that endowed host herself had been evangelized and knew her dignity and then could go take it, you know, it was so beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's like, you know, we're so assaulted, like women's dignity, we're under such assault. So like, yeah, we have middle school studies. Of course we have middle school studies, because in middle school, I mean, I'm not going to read the stats that we all kind of know about cutting, about porn, about just all the like wretched things that we cannot believe our little girls are going through. So of course we have middle school studies. We have the high school studies that are being re-released, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost too late in high school, right? What's the average, the median age, 13, 14, that people leave the church? They definitely 80% leave by 23 years old. So like, it's like, it's time. We can't like wait to react. This is proactive. Yeah. And then of course the adult study guides, which, you know, I didn't grow up in a Catholic bubble, but I have been in a Catholic bubble for a while. And when I kind of remember that, I have to remember that often, because just like I was talking to an endowed woman the other day, you know, she invited a woman into her endowed group and that woman said, "Oh my gosh, this is awesome. I didn't even know the church liked women." And that's real.
Yeah.
That is real. That is the place we find ourselves. We have a world that is against women. We have a church that is the most pro-woman companionship in the world. And most of the women in that companionship, at least officially, don't know that. So am I excited about Endow? Yes, I am. So if there's anybody listening to this who's like, yeah, I really want to support this, like this is an actual true way to be there for women. This isn't like hashtag social media posting black and white photos of women. You know, that's all fine and dandy. But like, you know, this is a real deep, concrete way for women to recognize their dignity, which, as Katie mentioned, like, that's not what we're doing. That's what you're doing, right? Right. You're out there hosting Endow City. So whether it's nurturing women within the church who deserve to be nurtured, or it's like going out to the peripheries to women like the one you just mentioned and like having them discover their dignity, whichever kind of host you are, maybe you're both. Actually, I know a host in Florida who's both, and it's pretty awesome. She's got her own group of her friends that do their thing. And then she's like spiritual mothering girls in their 20s. Who still have some form of Catholic identity, but who are like, I don't know what I think about the church's teachings on XYZ. And she's like really present and there for them. And Letter to Women in Endowed Study is the, you know, touchstone where she's using to have those kind of evangelizing conversations. And that's what the new evangelization is. It's like, we need to we ourselves, we Christians need to like remember who Jesus is because we forgot.
And like, right. And like re-encounter the tradition, like re-encounter like the magisterium. It's not just these like dry words on a page, but an actual living, living thing.
Right.
And sorry, the other thing I really want to say is that like, I just think that we forget to like this is all about like people's happiness. Like an endowed study guide is actually going to make you more happy, which I know sounds crazy maybe to some people, but like when you actually read that you have a feminine genius and you have a unique way of being in the world as a woman, like embracing your femininity. And like, it's always hard depending on what stage you are in life. And it's always a re-diving back into knowing who you are and knowing what that means. But it'll make you so much happier. And how many girls, like, again, like your hosts in their early 20s, like people who had no idea what it means to be a woman in today's world. And that like Christ actually wants to accompany you as you, you know, I think the happiness thing gets lost sometimes because we're just like, oh, this is a good idea. Or this could be a good, like, this is like essential to your like discipleship, actually dealing with diving into your feminine genius and then encouraging others.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, the women in our, go ahead, Sam.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Laura. You just got me on fire again. Well, yeah, because authentic conversion always begets a mission. Like if you yourselves are authentically converted, we're always in a process of continuing conversion. That natural or supernatural impulse is always to share it with someone else. If you found happiness and you're living happiness, well, not only are you going to be attracting other people, but like you want to like let people know about it.
I always tell the story of when I got engaged, like I told anybody that would listen, like the barista at Starbucks could have cared less, like not one iota that I had just gotten engaged, but boy, I was going to tell her whether she was
married, you know?
Exactly. So like how much more so should that be with Jesus, right? Like,
It's paragraph from the catechism, right? Like we're made to know and love God and live with him forever in heaven. But like, who's reading the catechism? Endow women. All right. So, just some things I want to say, cause just, I know we have to wrap that up, that I want to say thank you. I know Katie, this is also on your heart to our feminine genius circle women who like really get it. And you know, I am always out for a bargain and for a deal, but like, you know, an Endow study costs $35. That's not cheap. But when you think about it in terms of the event, pretty good deal. It costs $35 to get your nails done, right? So
it costs $35 to go to a movie. Nobody's going to a movie right now, but when you could go to a movie, you know.
Right. So for all of our like donors and Feminine Genius Circle members who like really don't want cost to be an issue in preventing any woman from being an endowed study, like we all say thank you for that. And also to the Endow hosts, because we just started these monthly host meetings. And one host was talking about, how some women in her group are struggling to pay for their studies. And some other, another host that was there for the host meeting emailed me and said, I want to buy study guides for that woman's Endow group.
Awesome.
It's just like, this is who Endow women are. They're amazing. They're the best.
And we do have that option. If you go to endowgroups.org and click on our give button, you can actually select that that your donation will go towards scholarships. And we take that seriously.
Yeah, we actually have a very specific budget for that. So when you email and say, could I get a discount, or I'm having, you know, struggling paying my bills, like we do have that budgeted in. So so for those who are listening that, you know, if this gets released during Lent, which I hope it will, I'm going to try and release it during Lent, but no promises. So sorry if this is during Easter season. It's always a good time for almsgiving.
Always a good time.
Like think about that. That's real. And also, you know, we have, I write for Endow Weekly, which are like summaries on Endow study. So maybe you're just like in an evangelically tense moment where you kind of want to start accompanying someone towards like deeper discipleship or conversion, or like to start talking about dignity and the feminine genius. Those are free on our website, Endow Weeklies. You can just send them a meditation and just see what happens. And if they want more, we have Endow Weekly in digital and print on our shop. And then we can, maybe it's not time for the full-fledged study guide. Maybe it's just time for a little taste. So just, you know, feel free to kind of use those kind of less intimidating resources to kind of, you know, have them dip their toes into the Endow world. Anything else, my friends and colleagues, that we should mention on this behind the scenes?
I was just going to say, you know, Laura mentioned how many people touch an Endow study before it actually reaches your doorstep and it actually goes into sale. And we do really try to make sure everybody gets a fair wage, and that costs. And we are a nonprofit. We've chosen to be so because we want to be on mission, and we want you to be on mission with us. And so the cost of our studies, that $34.95, that doesn't cover our operating expenses. So that's why we're out asking for donations, because A, we want you in the mission with us. Like, there is really a spirituality to giving, right? That's why we do prayer, mm-hmm. fasting, and almsgiving. And it is really important and helps us to continue. So if you are ever interested in sponsoring an Endow study or part of an Endow study, please reach out to me. I think
the
great Endow wheel will put my contact information somewhere. yes, please reach out to me, because we would love to have. And we also need prayer warriors too, right? Like, wherever there is good being done, the evil one is not far behind. So we need people to pray for us for sure.
Yes, love that. Father Giussani says, we don't give because others need. We give because we have a need to give.
Right.
And we need to pray. So, all right, ladies, thanks so much for this conversation. And until our next party.
Yes. So good to see you.
Thank you.
If this episode was helpful for you, please consider sharing it with a friend or two. We would also appreciate it so much if you left a rating and review so that more women can discover Endow and our mission to help women cultivate their unique feminine genius. Please also check out the link below to learn how to become a monthly donor to help defray podcast production costs. And, of course, if you'd like to talk to me about joining or starting your own Endow group, please email me at simone.rascala@endowgroups.org. And remember, you are the heart of Endow.